Next item, Guilford Heights Association, 10-0816. Right down the road.
Right down the road, same kind of stuff.
It's going to be penalty.
Little bit different situation. This is a request from the Guilford Heights Association, also an after the fact, to retain previously installed and unauthorized 186 linear feet of block retaining wall bulkhead structure at their property situated along the James River in Surrey County. There is no subaqueous component to this project. It does require beaches and dunes permit because it's in Surrey County and they have not yet adopted the enforcement of the law change in 2000. This project, we were just up here and we've gone a little south. Guilford Heights is a little cottage community along the James River in Surrey County. We're now outside the town of Claremont. We're just in Surrey County. Very small lots. I think probably established back in the 40s or 50s.
40s is closer.
This is the subdivision plat of Guilford Heights. Sorry, the copy was not so good to start with. What I wanted to note here is that the two lots we're talking about are basically right here, 20 and 21. But you'll note that there's a beach strip here. It is our opinion, based on the records we've been able to ascertain from this drawing, but the county, that this is a common area. It's owned by the association. There is an association. Obviously, they applied for the permit. These structures, we believe, are not actually on lots 20 and 21. They are actually on, but they were probably funded by those lots. This is a more specific drawing to the actual project. Again, lots 20 and 21. And I will note that even though the description says it's 186 linear feet, a little bit complicated here in the fact that this is a beach. The way the beaches and dunes ordinance is written, the jurisdictional line of the beach is where the material changes from a beach sandy type material to some other type material, or where there's already a man-made structure. Well, adjacent to lot 20, there are actually gabion baskets of stone were placed a number of years ago at the time above the wetlands jurisdiction of Vegetated Beach. So we are really today addressing only the part of this wall that's sort of adjacent to lot 21. The wall was placed on the landward side of the Gabion Basin. So we believe that it is landward of the jurisdiction because there is a man-made structure in front of it already. A little complicated, but if you see the photographs, it'll be a little bit clearer. A little bit more detailed view. This is very similar to the structure you just saw. It's made out of the same exact same material. The difference in this design is that it has perpendicular blocks here, but they are on the riverside, not on the wetland side. And there are more of them. There are five of these in a very short reach. Let me go through a little history on this one because this is where it gets a little bit complicated as to why we're here with an after the fact. Mr. Baker, who is here today, is the owner of Lot 20, and he has been serving as the permit agent for this project for the association. We received a written request from Mr. Baker back in December of last year requesting verification of the jurisdictional determination for proposed shoreline work that was being considered by Surrey County under their local ordinances, including the Chesapeake Bay Act. Specifically, the letter from Mr. Baker noted a letter from Surrey, which, among other things, requested written verification from VMRC regarding the jurisdictional determination for the project prior to commencement of any construction activity. He did respond to Mr. Baker on December the 17th and informed him that based upon the information he provided, we could not ascertain with certainty whether the project would fall under VMRC jurisdiction. We did, however, note that it appeared from the drawings that some or all of the project would likely be within our jurisdiction, as the site appeared to be a beach and that DMRC was currently acting as the Beaches and Dunes Board for Surrey County. We also suggested that the site be staked in the field so we could have a site visit to determine the jurisdictional areas. In April of 2010 of this year, we received a call from Surrey County staff who requested a joint site visit at Guilford Heights, as they informed us that the construction of a shoreline erosion structure had taken place without a final approval from the county. We did conduct the site visit on April the 26th with Surrey County. During the visit, we did observe what you see in the photograph here, a concrete block bulkhead slash retaining type wall structure that had been installed along the shoreline and channelward of two upland parcels, being lots 20 and 21. We did determine we believe this area to be a beach. Later, on May the 20th, we held a meeting at Surrey County Government Center with Mr. Baker, Ms. Sandra Jennings, who's the owner of Lot 21, and Surrey County Planning, Zoning, and Wetland staff. We did note that the structure, as currently installed, required a Beaches and Dunes permit, and we requested a joint permit application be submitted. Mr. Baker actually had the application filled out and submitted it to me on that date. After review of the application, we informed Mr. Baker and the Guilford Heights Association and the contractor, Mr. Michael Reeson of Driftwood Corporation, that the application information did not appear to reflect the actual structures that had been installed. So what happened here is they went to the county last year, summertime frame, to start this process. I know Mr. Baker will inform you later, but there's been a number of, I think, visits to this site by different contractors and engineers trying to figure out what to do to address the problem here. As you can see, this bank is probably 80 to 90 feet. It's two times the height of Mr. Winfrey's highest part of his bank. There are houses right at the top of this bank, a couple of which are basically almost threatened now by the erosion of the bank. So this has been an ongoing issue at Guilford Heights. What was submitted to the county was kind of a couple of different proposals of what to do here, including this type structure, a riprap structure, and the process was working its way through the county for approval. What I believe the initial hope for the association was to get some type of approval to address this whole reach of shoreline in front of all these lots. It might not all be built at one time, because I believe the funding mechanism is basically not necessarily through the association, but each individual lot owner sort of funding the structure on the river side of his property. But I think they were attempting to get approval of a reach approval, which is the preferred method to address the whole area at one time. And you can stage it in different sections. It's unclear exactly when they settled on this design, but in any event, this is the final design that they chose for these two lots. And as I said, we were contacted about confirming jurisdiction before the county wanted to sign off on it, and unfortunately, the project was installed before the county issued their final approval. It is my understanding the county has now authorized this under the Bay Act, so that has been done. But obviously, we determined that it does require a permit from us because this is a beach. So just to give you a little history, I think there was some confusion on Mr. Baker's part about jurisdiction here. Obviously, before 2008, this may or may not have required a permit. Possibly these most channelwood sections of the block might be channelwood of mean high, but you can see two rack lines here. This is kind of one rack line, and then this one, I believe high water is probably right near the toe of these. But the beaches and dunes jurisdiction goes above that. It goes to wherever it changes or there's another man-made structure. So these are clearly on the beach. So there was some confusion, I think, by the applicants. I just wanted you to be aware of that. These are ground shots. Again, you can see, here's the gabion baskets that I referenced, this is Mr. Baker's lot behind this, and Ms. Jennings' lot's behind this one. These actually run beyond the wall. The gabions run on down and up, probably about the same distance again down. This is kudzu that's grown over top of. If you go to the site today, it's grown over top of everything. The only thing you can see of these projecting is kudzu growing all the way down to the beach on the kind of north side of these. So these were taken a little bit before that, grew all the way down. They did put fill material behind this. This is a very steep eroding bank. It's continuing to erode. But again, the section we're looking at is these right here. This is the typical, this is the downstream end of the tiered wall and then the perpendicular structure. We believe this will probably work better than Winfrey's as far as hydrostatic pressure of the wall falling forward. And these are pretty close together, as you can see. There's only like three or four links of block between each one of these perpendicular walls. And there is some of them are single and some of them are double. This is the last one on the upstream end. And here's where the gabion starts. So we believe the jurisdiction really is for this part of the wall. These are behind your jurisdiction. There are the gabions and the five tier. And then that's kind of just looking at the entire reach there. There's the gabions that extend further. BIM's in their shoreline report, and we did subject this to a public interest review, and we have not received any objections. BIM's did issue a shoreline report on August the 19th of this year, and again, they noted had they been contacted prior to these being installed, these would not have been the preferred type structure at this location. Further state that the preferred method here would be either a offshore breakwater structure with toe stabilization at the bank and beach nourishment, or at a minimum, some other type of revetment structure at the toe of the scarp. We did note that if offshore structure was not feasible for economics, that a sloped revetment would work much better, which would mitigate the wave run-up and would dissipate wave action better than a vertical structure. Again, we have concerns with this type of material being used to design a bulkhead. These blocks are heavy, but they are not normally used in bulkheads. Again, there does not appear to be any mechanism to tie the structures together, making them susceptible to settling, movement during storm events, and hydrostatic pressure from the upland and large rain events. They do, however, incorporate five sets. I have four, but it's actually five if you count the last one as a return wall. On the channelwood side of the structure that appear to have been stalled to reinforce the structure from landward sloughing of the bank material and hydrostatic pressure from rain events. Again, the portion of the block installed behind the gabions, we believe, is outside the beaches and dunes jurisdiction. So we have a little bit different recommendation here, reluctantly, from the staff level. And I'll go through that. While we do, again, have concerns with this type of material as a bulkhead, they currently do appear to be functioning at this location. It also appears the environmental impact is minimal and the beach appears to be relatively stable at the location, upstream and downstream of the location. It does appear that a downstream return wall could have some adverse effects to the already eroding shoreline during storm events, as wave action will run up that wall and directly into the bank. You know, that's the opposite end down at this end. There's that tiered block, but it's just a vertical surface right into the bank. Here it goes into the existing wall and runs down the gabions, and we think that dissipates some of the wave action. So accordingly, after evaluating the merits of the project and considering all the factors contained in 28.1.14.03.10b of the code, we recommend approval of the project with the condition that the downstream portion of the wall at the intersection with the existing bank be protected with appropriate size riprap to address adverse wave action and potential flanking of the structure. While there appeared to be some confusion on whether the structure required a permit from BMRC, the applicant was clearly in the process of obtaining authorization from the county, who specifically contacted BMRC to determine what, if any, authorization was necessary from this agency. Additionally, staff believes the contractor is fully aware of the necessity of obtaining permits from BMRC for shoreline work, and apparently installed the structures in spite of this knowledge. Therefore, since the structure was installed without prior approval, staff recommends an appropriate civil charge to both the applicant and the contractor based on minimal environmental impact and major non-compliance. If approved, we'd also recommend a permit condition that requires removal of the structure within 90 days should it fail in the future. And let me address the contractor issue briefly. I met directly with Mr. Reeson. He is the contractor for this project and the Winfrey project. Mr. Winfrey had previously noted that he took full responsibility and did not want to involve the contractor. I met with Mr. Reeson in July and encouraged him that he should attend the meeting. He was notified of the meeting. I do not believe he's here. I also told Mr. Baker the same. Mr. Baker said he would do what he could, but he did not believe he could convince him to come either. Mr. Reeson's comments to me were that he basically, if he didn't put this in, somebody would. And economic times are bad, and he was trying to keep his crews working. Take that for what it's worth. That's exactly what he told me. I encouraged him to come because we believe the contractor in this instance is just as or more culpable than the property owners. That said, I'd be happy to try to answer any questions.
Okay.
I've got one thing to say before we go any further. I'm going to have to recuse myself from voting on this project because something has come to light pertaining to the contractor, which, although I don't believe in my heart of hearts would give me a problem as far as the vote is concerned to avoid any type of appearance one way or the other, which I just think it's appropriate that I recuse myself from voting on this matter. So with that, I'll pass the gavel to Mr. Holland. I'll be back with the next case. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
I'll answer any questions.
Any questions?
Yeah. I guess the first question is does this contractor know now not to use this block material action?
I implored to him in July that I understood his comments. I understood the economy. I understood he wanted to keep working. I said, but you cannot keep installing any structure
right
without proper permits in your hand. And you know, I told him that we did not particularly like these structures. He likes them because, one, they're cheap.
Cheap and easy.
They're easy. He has the equipment. He is an excavating type contractor. He has the equipment that you can pick these blocks up with the right size equipment and just move them all around. You can drive right down onto this beach with the right equipment and put these in. So they're easy to install, faster to install. And I can tell you that I told him all of those things and implored to him that, you know, to not do any future work unless he has a permit in his hand. And if that means he loses a job, I'm sorry. You know, we're going to go after whoever does it if they don't have a permit.
Any other comments? Questions?
One more question. Would you also say that in front of the wall, some type of rock material should be put there too as a toe?
Well, I mean, we did look at that at the staff level, and I discussed this with VIMS. I was with VIMS when they did a site visit on this one. And I mean, we could make that a permit condition. These have been in since December. They weren't in Norida, but we've had a number of storm events up in Surrey area first of this year that, as you can see, one of those did all the damage at Winfrey's property. And these appear to remain stable, and you know they don't appear to be scouring. I think these act as almost like upland groin features and trapped sand. And right after storm, there might be some erosion here, but it appears to refill itself. It looks like they're remaining relatively stable.
Yeah, well, maybe later we can hear from VIMS, but my concern is the public has been sold a bill of goods about these type of materials, and you know what may happen in the future. You know, it'd be nice to be able to prevent some of that now.
Any other questions at this time? Thank you. Is the applicant here? I wish to be heard.
Okay, I've got about 10 bills of paperwork.
Okay, Would you state your name?
Yeah, Bill Baker.
You swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Okay. Go ahead.
All right. I think there are several salient points here, but I'll just touch on very briefly. May I show you some pictures?
Sure, bring them up.
All right. This is before pictures of what we're talking about. Shortly after Ernesto, I've been fooling with this thing since 2006. The first gentleman, your shoreline engineer from DCR to take a look at it, was a Mr. Mike Vallendingham. He said, as well as other engineers, there have been five engineers that's looked at this thing. All of them have said the worst thing that we can do is nothing. That's it. I mean, it's Mother Nature at its best. Keeping that in mind, we decided something had to be done, because when you look at those pictures, you'll see the A's of roofs on houses. All these houses are going into the river eventually, I imagine, unless something's done. So yes, we did try to permit the entire beach. We had neighborhood meetings, this type of thing, to see if we couldn't get enough people interested in this project to do, and I don't know how to run that thing, but to do the whole beach area and really make a major impact. Well, we had meeting after meeting after meeting. Okay. So the general consensus of opinion is if somebody were to stick their toe in the water and the shark didn't bite it, and they had something to look at, that there is a great deal of interest. Okay? I became the guinea pig, me and not Miss Jennings, but Miss Young. She's my next door neighbor. Okay. We've gotten to that point. All right. I spoke with at least, well, I called six construction firms in Norfolk, Portsmouth, up and down, okay? The majority of them said, well, we're not really interested because it's not a big enough project for us. You know, we're the big guys. Okay, we start shopping around, trying to find contractors that can do something. I know you're not happy with that material, but we came up with a fellow that wanted to do the armor rock and the riprap and all that kind of stuff. It's much more expensive than this. So obviously economics has to come into play at some point. All right, we're not wealthy people. You know, I'm just a gray-headed old guy that wants to sit on the beach and watch my grandkids splash in the river. That's why I'm trying to protect this thing. That, and also, I'm not real fond of polluting the river either. So, this riprap thing and what have you, I don't know what to tell you, because the guy that did all the riprap stuff on Highway 288 outside of Richmond, through a friend of mine, he was telling me, he said, well, you know, this is all well and fine, as the other engineers have said, but they said, what's going to happen if we have another 100-year event like Isabel? And I said, well, you know, I don't know, but we've had 300-year events in the last 7 years, so I got to do something. They said, well, if you do the riprap thing, with the cushion effect and all that kind of thing, that's probably a good approach. But where did all the riprap on the James River end up after Isabel? The majority of it is still in the channel. So that's why we considered this design. I know you don't like the material and all that stuff, but on this end of it, that's a double wall, okay? Double offsetting wall. It goes down behind the gabion baskets until we found this, in the ground until we found a solid foundation. The theory is, common sense-wise, so the engineers are telling me, they don't like the material either, but they say, you know, you might have a shot at it, because if that 4,000-pound concrete block is pushed off or falls off or whatever, and you've got a double thickness, it's not going to go any further than the water. They said, so at least you can pick it up and put it back. So that seemed to make some sense to me, and I'm not an engineer. So keeping in mind, when you look at these pictures and we have, okay, and I can't run that thing, but if you look upriver,
there's a little
this area, okay, you'll see what's happening. And if you take a side view of this thing, okay, and I'm not saying the contractor did the right thing. I'm not into that. You will notice that there is a much better slope where these blocks have been placed because it's allowed the bank. In other words, the blocks have fooled the bank. The bank wants to have a 45-degree angle. So the engineers do. By raising this thing up, what we've done is we've kind of fooled the top of the bank. We're saying, this is not your angle now. This is. I haven't had any erosion since those things were put up there. Prior, we had the gabion baskets. They're good, but they're not good enough. The tide just goes over, drags the dirt out, more dirt falls on the bank. We've had a couple of, you can't call it a nor'easter, but extremely, extremely high tides. One this spring, I know, when I wasn't around. And what happened was it took all of the dirt that was along this entire bank. It went all the way up to the Gray Marl and washed it all out. Well, now everybody else up and down river has a heck of an erosion problem. I don't know how many thousands of tons of dirt have fallen off of that thing. No dirt's fallen there. So, in my mind, I don't know whether it's a good material or not. We had to do something that was economically feasible. This turned out to suit the economics of the project. So, I've got what I've got. It's better than nothing. I don't think it's going to wash out in the channel like the riprap. Of course, we haven't had an Isabel, thank God, lately. But time will tell. I don't know. But I wanted you to know that I've been involved in this thing for a long time because I think, totally, I showed proper intent. I'm not trying to hide from anybody. Among the people that I contacted, we went to FEMA trying to get them involved, thinking, well, maybe we can get a couple bucks or something. No dice. We went to Chesapeake Bay on the theory that if we do this whole riverfront and bear all that expense and everything, isn't the habitat better off? Isn't the bay better off? Isn't the river better off? Well, here's a habitat engineer. He can tell you. And the answer to that would have to be common sense, yes. Okay, of course, we worked with Surrey County. We contacted DCR in 2006 the first time. Okay? Ben was out there before anything ever started. and looked at it and gave us some recommendations, et cetera, so forth and so on. Neighborhood meetings, Guilford Heights Association meeting, you know, ad in the newspaper, which you required. I'm present at this meeting. I'm not trying to duck anything. And Ben goes back to this joint application permit thing, okay? It's that little red booklet type thing, okay? Here's what happened there. After I got it from Ben, I filled it out, okay? At that time, we were considering this. That's the information we included in that joint application permit. Things changed, okay? At a meeting with the people for another agency, I brought out the joint application permit, and I said, do we need to file this? He said, no, that's unnecessary. We take care of dealing so forth and so on between VMRC and so forth and so on. I said, okay, so you don't need a copy, you don't need anything, right? I don't need to submit this? No, you don't have to submit it. I said, okay, fine. Well, after that, I get the letters from Ben's office. And they said, well, you know, we're going to have to fine you $10,000 or $25,000 or something. Well, I didn't understand it. So that's when I called Ben and said, would you mind coming to Surrey County and tell me what this is all about? I don't think I've done anything wrong or whatever. He said, yeah, I'll be there. So Ben came, and he explained to me what code 24908.7.8.0. Okay, explain that to me. Beaches and dunes. I didn't think we had any dunes. I think of Nag's Head when I think of dunes, but maybe we do. I don't know. And I said, what is the bottom line here? What's going wrong? And he said, well, you didn't submit the joint application permit. I said, well, here, I have it right here. Here it is. Take it home with you. He said, thank you very much. So I thought those fires had been put out at that point. That permit was, I believe, dated June of 2009. So I feel like I demonstrated proper intent. All these people I've talked to get an emergency permit, by the way, from Surrey County, dealing with all that, involving DCR, and trying to get everybody involved so we can keep a high level of interest in this thing. That's where I'm coming from. The thing seems to be working, but I don't know whether it'll continue to work or not. It is something we could afford, something we could do, to try to protect and defend our property as best we can, as economically as we can, and that's where we are right now.
Okay. Any commission member have any questions?
Question.
Mr. Thacker.
Mr. Reeson stated that he thought that you all would go ahead with the project with or without him. Did you, in fact, tell him that, and was that sort of the premise by which you...
No, I had considered that Mr. Reeson was a part of the project. I didn't hear whether go for, you know. What exactly are you asking?
I'm asking you if, in fact, Mr. Reeson is correct in saying that if he didn't do the project, someone else would. And that's what you told him?
No, I didn't tell him.
Okay.
Any other questions for any commission member?
Yeah, I just want to get one thing clear. Now, obviously the contractor knew that you needed a VMRC permit. Did he not tell you that you needed a VMRC permit?
Let me tell you what happened. To the best of my knowledge, okay? We got involved in this thing. Da 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 da. we have to do something, we have to do it. Okay, hurricane seasons, all of this stuff, we're going to lose a lot more if we don't do something. We became involved with Mr. Reeson in this project. Okay? I have obtained a letter from the Homeowners Association, of which I'm a board member, to allow us to do this, considering it's community property. I'll show you a copy of that if you like. I also at that time had them sign off that Mr. Reeson was to be our agent for proper permitting and what have you, okay? Now we're into the project, or just about to start the project.
And what time is this?
Before we put this in.
So what year?
Oh, what year? That'd be 2009? Probably 2009. Okay. Yeah. I'll be happy to show it to you if you want it. I haven't got any secrets. Okay. So then we got into this thing, and Mr. Reeson indicated to me that he was not interested in fighting with all the people that we had to go through and what have you, and that if I wanted to go get the permits, fine. Well, that's what I did.
And this is November of 2009?
Well, no, in the, yeah, probably
in the fall. Okay. Prior to you talking with folks, that you knew at some point in time that there may need to be permits in December of 2009 from VMRC.
Yes.
But then you failed to go forward with actually applying for them.
No. I filled out all the paperwork. Yes, I did not apply for it because I was told not to.
By somebody at Surrey County?
Another eight, yes.
Yeah, I just wanted to get that clear.
Right. So, we got approval from Surrey County on an emergency permit. And the lady stated, pending approval from VMRC, okay? Well, in my mind, that was telling me that they had submitted whatever they were submitted to VMRC, and they're just waiting for a letter back or something pending approval from VMRC. I don't know.
But you still went ahead without getting some letter back. Did she say you had to get the letter back?
No. She said pending approval from VMRC or whatever.
And you took that to mean that
that they're communicating.
That they were doing it, not that you were supposed to get approval. Well,
exactly. Yeah.
Well, that meant the permit pending getting approval from another agency.
In other words, you know. I've never been through this process. I didn't know what I was doing. In fact, it got so bad at one point, I called, what do they call this guy? Somebody that gets all these permits and everything. He wanted about $5,000 or $6,000 to do this, of which we don't have. So I just stick with it. The engineering studies. Local engineering company wanted $45,000 to do an WQIA engineering something or another, which didn't make a lot of sense for a $35,000 project. Why would you spend $50,000?
Thank you.
Any other questions of any commission? Thank you, sir.
Mr. Chairman.
I'm sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just one follow-up question. What were the approximate construction dates of the project? When was the project constructed?
December last year.
December.
When we started construction.
Right. Thank you.
When did December? Yeah.
Any other questions? Thank you, sir.
My pleasure.
Is Is there anyone else here in favor of the project? Is there anyone here not in favor of the project? Okay. The man is before the commission.
I have one question of Mr. Tagg. Now, as far as the first you told Mr. Baker or the contractor that permits might be needed, when was that?
Well, what was presented to me was a letter from Surrey County that was dated December 8, 2009. That was a letter from the county to Mr. Baker.
Right.
Requesting, well, it talked about the project, but one of the bullets in it was that he provide to the county written verification from VMRC of jurisdictional determination of the project and whether it's required prior to commencement of any construction activity, which prompted my letter, which is in your packet, December the 17th, expressing my concerns that based on the information Mr. Baker sent me, I couldn't say for sure, but it appeared, looking at the drawings, that at least some portion of the project would require a permit.
And this is
not aware that it was constructed yet. I don't know that it was yet. It was, I think it was constructed in December. But I don't know. So that's.
It appears that the construction was ongoing at the time that the letter was sent to him.
Possibly, but I.
And you didn't get any response back?
No. The next response I got was a call from the county saying that the thing was constructed and they had concerns because this issue had not been resolved.
Right.
The application that he submitted was at the May 20th meeting in 2010. The application was, his signature on it was dated July of 2009. So he may very well have filled it out back in, but there's the confusion where he said someone told him he didn't need to submit it, so it could have just been sitting. But we didn't get the application until May.
Okay.
Of this year.
Any other questions? Thank you, Ben. Before us.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to address a couple of points. I think it's very unfortunate that the contractor has played the role that he's played here. I think it's very clear that from what staff's relayed that a very conscious decision was made to bypass the permitting process. I think that blame needs to be reflected in our final decision, and I'd hope that the commission would consider that. We have a structure here that is not a preferred approach that reflects the fact that the process was not, or the project was not submitted appropriately to the public interest review, and there wasn't any technical input as there should have been, and that would have been afforded through the normal permitting process had it been done correctly. And similarly, I think the record does indicate that, we have a DCR letter here that was sent to Mr. Baker in 2007 that indicates that shoreline modifications would likely require state and federal permits. So I think we have a result that's less than ideal because the permit process was not appropriately followed. But I think staff has certainly a viable recommendation that's supported by the record, that is that we would approve it but require some additional improvement with riprapping at the downstream portion and consider appropriate civil charges.
Okay.
If you'd like a motion to that effect, Mr. Chairman, I would move to accept staff's recommendation to approve the project with a condition that the downstream portion of the wall at the intersection with the existing bank be protected with appropriate size riprap, and that the applicant and contractor be that civil charges be applied to the applicant and contractor in the amount of $1,800 each, which is consistent with major non-compliance and minimal environmental impact.
How about the permit fee? Any
and
triple permit fee or
Is there a permit fee recommendation?
Charge a permit fee.
Okay.
Okay, very well. That's my motion, Mr. Chairman.
Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
Second, Mr. Schick. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, abstained, unanimous. Thank you all.